Production. Recorded live.
What's up, everybody? This is Jeff Roney, and I am here with Casey Knowlton. And
hello.
He is from Boise, Idaho. Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Jeff. How you doing?
I'm doing good. So we are going to be talking about Superman today.
Yes.
And we are live in Ustream right now, so that's kind of cool. So people may be wondering what the heck's going on. So I put the URL so they can come and join us from there. So anyway, so give us a little background. How did Superman begin? Where did it all start?
Well, are you wanting my history or are you wanting Superman's history? Because they're two different things.
Okay. Just kind of a brief capsule of, where Superman started. I know it's back in the 30s, right?
Well, yeah, 70 years ago this month. I don't know if it was necessarily today, but it was this month. First Superman comic appeared. Action Comics number 1 was the first comic he appeared in. I'm sure a lot of people recognize that that comic book with him lifting the car on the front. I used to have a reprint of that somewhere, and it's gone now. But so 70 years ago, young kid writes this comic, has no idea, it's going to become what it has today, which is probably true of most any pop culture type icons, I think.
So, okay, 70 years ago, Superman begins, and, we'll talk about the different iterations of what happened after he was, the superhero Superman was introduced, but how did you become interested in Superman? Let's talk about that.
Well, I remember when I was a kid watching the Chris Reeve films. I don't know which ones I had seen, but I remember just kind of being magically taken away by the films, just like, wow, these are so cool. I'd always been interested. I'd been a fan, I guess you could say, but I didn't really become a big fan until Superman Returns. I think Superman Returns for me really harkened back to what I loved about Superman when I was a kid, and it kind of captured that magic that I remember feeling as a kid. Mm-hmm. And it was from there on I just started to really just get into the character and, read more of the comics and really get into the movies and became a pretty hardcore fan.
Now, Superman Returns, that was, to be honest, that's kind of late in the game. There's been a lot of stuff come out long before then. So we started with the comic books, and at that point, comic books were pretty important in the 30s and 40s because, folks really didn't have a lot of money. But then there was the TV show. You want to talk a bit about
George Reeve,
mm-hmm. black and white TV show?
And interesting enough, what you said about the comics, it's not only that because they were inexpensive or whatever, there wasn't a lot of other entertaining things. I mean, it was kind of, it was like what we have today as far as our movies and video games and stuff. Comics were like the thing, for kids. There wasn't really a whole lot else. There were other things, but, I mean, comic books were huge in that time. And I think that's obviously where Superman started to really become big because, there was nothing else. Ooh, what's going to happen next? What's Superman going to have to face next? And I think George Reeves, really embodied the character. Even though the show, looking back, is fairly corny, but I mean, it's of that era. I mean, that's how everything was back then. Even if you look at the old Batman TV show with what we have now, very, very different. It's interesting. It's almost like comic book movies and TV shows, and even the George Reeves show. During that time era, didn't take themselves very seriously. This is just a fun way to, spend a half an hour or whatever. And whereas today we take our heroes very seriously. You know, there's definitely a change in the air about superheroes. I could definitely say that much. But I mean, George Reeves, he was Superman for all intents and purposes in that era. You know, and I haven't watched a lot of that show, but just from what I have watched, and just in the documentaries of the show, it's there's all that mystery about what happened with George Reeves jumping out a window to his death. I mean, right? Mm. You know, what was that all about? All kinds of speculations and theories on that, and definitely very tragic, which is one of the reasons a lot of people have said there's some kind of a Superman curse, quote unquote. Chris Reeve, same last name, ends up in an awful accident and then dies, you know, a few years later. There's been this sort of, ooh, is there some kind of a curse? You know, even the guy from the show Lois and Clark for a time had gotten really badly into drugs and was having a lot of problems. So there's always been this sort of, fan idea of this curse, which is pretty well known, but I don't know that there's anything in it other than superstition.
Well, I think it's interesting that, Superman follows a kind of Christ figure flow, and then he was from another, planet and area, came to Earth to do good, to help mankind, and, but I think what's even more interesting is Superman portrays the everyman. You know, Clark Kent is, just a guy.
Yeah.
And, when someone needs help, that's when he changes into Superman. Now, he could stay that way all the time, but, he has to fit in and be a part of, humanity. So it's a kind of split personality that, they've looked at in other superhero films, but, I think that's the interesting part is that, Superman, came to Earth to, help mankind, but, it's a secret identity, except when, someone's in trouble. So, what do you think about that?
That's an interesting point because, just going back to what you first commented about the Christian mythos and how that relates to the character, that's a huge part of the character, and a lot of fans will, but it's unavoidable. It's part of who the character is. There are definitely abundantly clear. It's written into the character. It's so obvious. It slaps you in the face. You don't have to like it. I like it. But that's just me, And one of the interesting things about Superman is he is Superman. He's not Clark Kent. He has to become Clark Kent to fit in, whereas like Batman and these other heroes, even Iron Man, which recently came out, Marvel, they are just guys, just ordinary Joes who have to dress up and become these other things, where Superman is Superman. And he has to dress up to be the normal Joe. And it's very similar to, God coming in flesh as Christ through, as a humble carpenter, he has to be a man and come down to earth and live a man's life, even though he's technically kind of quote-unquote God in disguise. It's that idea of here's this, figure of greatness, and yet he seems just like this bumbling reporter. When really it's not the case at all.
Well, I think, it's interesting. I'm not much of a comic book reader, but I think because of the films and probably because of some of the cartoons that have come out, I am starting to get acclimated to the different superheroes. I knew about Batman, I knew about Superman, but, there's a Green Lantern and, Captain America and all these, all these other superheroes. And it's interesting to look at, whether you're a Stan Lee fan or DC or whatever, you are. It's interesting to look at superheroes, who they are, what they do, why do they do what they do, and how how they fit in, you know, just kind of like what you're saying is that, you know, there's a lot of people that are people until they put on this, you know, mask or suit or something.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think, you know, just like other films that come along, I think people do want to believe that there is someone, you know, like a Superman, you know, in whatever level that's somewhere.
Oh yeah.
And, you know, so anyway, I think it's interesting. I mean, America and probably the world in a lot of different degrees is very jaded these days. And, you know, it's interesting how we come back to, you know, superheroes. And, you know, just like you were saying, I mean, back in the 30s, the comic book started. It could have died right there. It could have just stopped, you know. And, but people loved it. And then the TV show came along, you know. And yeah, you're right. It was probably a little like Batman in the fact that the TV show was kind of more fun. And
more campy.
But I don't know. Yeah, more campy, and you know, I loved, I forget the guy's name, Perry White, and you know, Lois Lane, and all that. I mean, yeah, it was, Jimmy Olsen and all that. It was fun the interaction, and I think the TV show was really well cast. I think they were really, really good actors.
Oh yeah, I mean, it was a lot of fun, you know, and mm-hmm. this is coming from someone who hasn't seen, you know, a lot of the episodes, but I would say it was more fun to me in some respects than the old Batman show, which I liked also growing up. You know,
right.
There's definitely a different feel for each one of those shows. You know, Batman and Superman are the two sort of poster boys for, you know, DC, Detective Comics.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're the two iconic, probably the most iconic heroes of all time, you know, and they're from DC. And, of course, Marvel has their share of iconic heroes. But I'd say, I mean, Superman and Batman, I mean, it's really hard to – maybe Spider-Man is up there as a Marvel, but you say the name instantly. People will know who they are, you know, what their symbol looks like, you know, even in Superman's case now, because of the great John Williams, they'll instantly think of da 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 da. You know, it's you can't help that. It's become Americana. It's become part of who we are. Superman is part of American culture. I mean, he's embedded there.
That's true, and it's interesting that even though the TV show ended. You know, there was a guy named Richard Donner that was sitting around one day and said, you know, let's make a movie about Superman.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know, you know, where you were at that time, but, you know, I remember there was a one-page big ad in the L.A. Times, and it said, "You'll believe a man can fly," and it had the Superman symbol.
Oh, yeah, I have that poster on my wall.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, the first Superman Richard Donner film is amazing. I mean, it was the film. I mean, as great as the show was and great as the comics were, and you know, Superman had been really, you know, a great character up to that point, and he was loved and he was appreciated and people liked him and he had a following. That film took him from sort of being this, you know, iconic hero into a legendary hero. I mean, just it was what, I mean, the fact that just seeing him fly for the first time, because in the old show, he would just sort of jump and then it would cut to the next scene and he'd be landing. You know, it was you never really got to see him, you know, soaring through the clouds. This film comes along and, you know, the drums start up in the beginning with that theme coming in and we go to Krypton and we have Marlon Brando and we have this epic, you know, opening sequence where the three baddies are, you know, shot off into space, and Krypton blows up, and then we have Superman when he first dons the, you know, the cape and goes to save Lois from the helicopter, falling off the building, and I mean, it was just like wow, wow,
mm-hmm.
And of course I can't say that I really experienced that fully because I wasn't even born when the first one came out. Came out the year after Star Wars came out. But I've been able to go back and appreciate that more and more over the years. And I mean, it's just an incredible film.
Well, I saw it when it first came out, and I was what now?
Awesome.
I was blown away for a number of reasons because I mean it was at that time it was an amazing special effects marvel. The flying sequences were great, but I think the thing that I was impressed with was just the funny aspect of it. It was a funny movie.
There was a lot of fun in it.
And
definitely.
There was, and him rescuing the cat out of the tree, and the whole Lex Luthor and
Otis,
Otis, and all that. I mean, it was really, really. I think it hit all the cylinders that it should. And I remember listening to the commentary of the movie, and there is a shot where the young Clark Kent was running along a road, and he said we were so strapped for cash that I think he was on a bike or something, and they used corn to hide the fact that he wasn't running, and he drug a bag in the road so it looked like he was running faster when they sped up the film or whatever. And
I think I know what you're talking about.
It was old tricks. But it really worked. I remember the helicopter scene when it was falling.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was great. I mean, there were so many things that worked, and I remember even the guy on the street. When Superman took off, he goes, "Woo! Look at that! Because look at that outfit.
Nice outfit."
And it was really a lot of fun, and. What's interesting is a lot of these superheroes, I think some people feel that if they get married or they have a relationship that they jump the shark. Do you think that it was too soon to kind of, go with the whole Lois Lane, romance at that point? Or what was your feelings about that?
Well, sticking with the first film, the romance was done amazingly well. And it was fun, and it was tongue-in-cheek, and it was just great. And here she is interviewing him, and she's completely mad and, obsessed in love with this guy, because he's Superman.
Mm-hmm.
And so it reminds me of a line from Superman Returns, when she's being confronted by her quote-unquote fiancé, and he says, "Were you in love with him?" She's like, "Well, he was Superman. Everybody was in love with him." There's that classic scene of their little exchange on her suite up on the top of the building, which was a great scene. Mm-hmm. And of course it's followed by the kind of corny, love flying sequence, whatever you want to call it, and she's kind of has that little inner monologue to herself. But I mean, it wasn't done poorly. I think, and by the way, just in sticking with Superman, the first film, I have to mention in the idea of it being a fun movie. I think the romance was kept. I think it was done well. It kept it fun, and one of the best parts for fun, I thought, was when Lex Luthor is telling Superman about. Basically, he's doing the whole mad scientist. This is my plot. Here's what I'm doing. I'm going to sink California, and here's my new coat. I'm going to have Luthor Deluxe, and da 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 da, and Otisburg. Otisburg, it's just an itty bitty place, Mr. Luthor. One of those classic. You just laugh yourself silly. I just loved it. But going back to the romance, I think the problem with arose in the second film. Superman sleeping with Lois Lane was the biggest mistake ever put on screen in a Superman film.
Right.
It was a complete reversal of that character. It was so, I mean, he's kind of the big boy scout. That's not something he would do, I believe Superman would remain. He would not do that kind of thing unless he was in a marital vow. I think he's the Boy Scout. He's a good guy. He's strict by the law. You know, he would not do that kind of thing. Plus,
right.
I think he would, you know, just go and sacrifice all his powers and throw it all away for a hot night with Lois. I didn't like that at all. You know, as much fun as I still get out of the second film, as a follow-up to the original, it does kind of leave me cold, you know?
Yeah, I really loved Terrence Stamp. I thought he was fantastic.
Heel to Zod, son of Jor-El.
Oh, dude. I mean, that was, oh, man,
they
that
landed
was a great
Preston,
cast.
Idaho. That was even better.
Because
I live in Idaho.
And I like to, but you're right. You know, I think it was kind of cool that he, you know, he laid his strength down, you know, to become married. I think that's an interesting, you know, story device. And
well, it wasn't to become married. It was to have sex.
Okay.
That's all
there
it
go.
Was. So.
Well, then there was it cost a lot. So
it did. Oh, you know, and I did appreciate that they showed the cost. Because it was Superman learning a huge valuable lesson. Because as soon as he gave up his power, suddenly he's needed more than he's ever been needed. And
right.
You know, and it actually, I don't know if you've seen the Richard Donner cut of the film, which is actually very underappreciated in fan circles, which is understandable because it's really not a really cohesive film. They had to kind of throw a bunch of stuff together and the ending doesn't make sense. And because they didn't have all the footage to work with, because Donner was fired, you know, halfway through the making of the film, which is a tragedy, but there are some really great exchanges of dialogue between Marlon Brando, who was cut completely out of the theatrical cut of Superman 2, which was another tragedy in that project, but and Superman and him, you know, and you really get the gravity and the weight of that decision he made. A lot better in the Donner cut than you do in the Lester cut, which the Lester cut was a lot more tongue-in-cheek than the Donner cut was. And that's one of the things I always appreciated going back to the first film is that it was really fun, but it didn't – it was done tastefully. You know, it wasn't just – like if you get to Superman 3, there's just a bunch of the Metropolis people – having all these weird things happen to them for no good reason. They're falling into holes and pies are falling in their face. And you're thinking, what is this? What is this movie? This is not Superman. You know, and I think that's eventually, you know, the downfall of the series was that Lester Donner switch, you know, midway through Superman 2. And then we got 3, which was not very good. And then 4, which was terrible, which is again, why I appreciated Bryan Singer coming in and saying, all right, we're gonna, you know, redo. You know, we're going back. We're gonna tell this thing right. And they started, you know, 5 years after the second film. And I like that idea. I like it because it was a love letter to Richard Donner, and it kept in that same spirit. I will say, Superman Returns didn't have the same kind of fun for me that the original Superman had, and I was okay with that. I was okay with it being a little darker.
Okay. Let's take a tad side trip, and we'll come right back to this, okay?
Mm-hmm.
What is your feelings about the reboot of a franchise? For instance, we just talked about there was Superman 1 through 4.
Mm-hmm.
4 was dismal, right?
Mm-hmm. No,
so then Singer comes along and says, well, okay, we're going to reboot this thing. We're going to start over, you know, and tip the hat to Donner and say thanks so much and Christopher Reeve and all that. Great, awesome. No, we're going to take it. We're going to change it and start over. You know, they did the same thing with Batman. You know, and what is your feelings about that?
My feeling on it is, in general, reboots don't work. In the case of superheroes films, for whatever reason, it's worked wonderfully. It took them 4 tries to get Batman right. And as much as I love Batman 89, I will always love Batman 89, and even to a degree, the second film, Returns. I did not. I just what Schumacher did to those films we didn't need to go back to the old TV show the way it was. You know, that was its own era, and he tried to take it back to this sort of tongue-in-cheek, really hammed up, and I'm like, what are you doing? You know, this is the year. I mean, and I think most people would agree, even if you enjoyed the third film, the fourth one was just terrible, which, again, mm-hmm. is another curse a lot of fans believe in, is that superhero films can't have more than two good installments because the third one will always suck. Like Spider-Man, mm-hmm. for example, is one of those very disappointing in many circles, and it was a superhero film.
Right.
But not to sidetrack too much, the reboot of Batman was fantastic. Batman Begins was absolutely beyond incredible. I mean, it was I was so impressed, I couldn't believe it was a Batman movie. I was like, this mm-hmm. is, right? This is unreal. This is amazing. All the acting and the script and the story and the origins, they're all done perfect. And I felt the same way about Superman Returns. I thought it was – the thing that's interesting about Returns, though, it was not like Batman where it was a complete, you know, do-over. They kept it in the spirit of being a sequel to Part 1 and 2. And I'm glad he did that because I think that those films will always be so endearing to people. And people have no problem forgetting about 3 and 4. So I think it was a good idea that he did it that way. So it worked really well in those two instances, but, I mean, there are other series I can think of. Strangely enough, thinking of horror films, which I have a delight for, I'll admit it. I don't like gore, but I do like the suspense thrillers. Psycho, for instance, was completely mm-hmm. redone and was remade
right.
almost shot for shot, and it was just ridiculous. I mean, why would you want mm-hmm. to remake something that was already a classic? There was no point in redoing that film. Or even the original Halloween, which was a great, you know, kind of the grandchild of Psycho, and it was redone and was, I mean, the remake was so vulgar and so violent. I mean, it was completely unlike what the first one had been. I mean,
right.
That's just a couple instances of where rebooting was not a good idea. Or
mm-hmm.
remakes or whatever. You know, there's so many different terms now. Reimagining, reboot, remake, re-envisioning. I don't even know. I mean, they try and coin all these different terms, but essentially they're just recycling an idea and doing it over again. And I think...
Well. They should put me in charge of greenlighting every movie. And if Tim Burton came to me and said, we're going to redo The Planet of the Apes, I would have read the script and said, no, you are not.
Oh, yeah, that's
how's
a good
that?
Example. You know, I still remember seeing that. And at the
mm-hmm.
end of that film, you know, the character returns to Earth and all the apes have taken over or whatever. And everybody,
yeah.
once the credits started to roll, I remember I was with about six or seven people. We all just started looking at each other with this dazed, glazed look, saying, I don't get that. What happened? I don't understand this ending. We all just sat there for about 10 minutes trying to figure it out. We couldn't figure it out.
mm-hmm.
That was a terrible redo.
Well, what I figured out when I was done is about $8 was gone. That's what
yeah.
I figured out.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. I've had a few of those.
Okay, so let's go back. Bryan Singer of X-Men fame signs on mm-hmm. to do, yeah. re-insert your own term, of Superman. And, you know, we find a fantastic, you know, guy to play Superman. We get, you know, probably one of the best actors to play Lex Luthor in the whole world.
Oh, yeah.
And
definitely.
You know, we're off and running. So what did you think when you saw Superman Returns? Just, you know, what were your feelings about it?
You know, initial reaction is I loved it. I mean, a lot of people came out sort of lackluster or, yeah, it was okay. I had been anticipating the film for a couple years when I heard. And I think at first I was a little hesitant, but then I heard it was going to be, you know, just a sequel to Part 2. And I thought, well, that's interesting. And I was a little uncertain about that idea at first, but then I started seeing some pictures, and I just started thinking, this is going to be great. And I know I was very excited. So when I first saw it, I was blown away. I thought the whole idea of the story was very well done. And really, it was a lot of ideas that were already explored in the first two films. A lot of them were just, you know, built upon what was already there, which I thought was fine. You know, the whole idea of Lex Luthor going, because if we go off the idea that this is a sequel to part two, Lex Luthor built this little box in the second film and he found out where Superman's lair was. And of course they somehow, you know, ridiculously get there by a hot air balloon and a snowmobile. You know, but that was the fun of those films. It was a little far-reaching. And in fact, at one point, I think Superman, Clark Kent walks all the way back to the Arctic somehow. But anyway, you know, the idea that Lex Luthor as a character, given, you know, what we've already seen, he would go back there. That's exactly what he would do. He would go back and he would try and manipulate that alien technology because he's that smart and he's that sinister. And that's exactly what he does in the film. You know, and I don't think we got to see the full grasp of what that meant. He talks a lot about alien weapons and vehicles. All we get to see is a continent growing in the water, which I was fine with, you know, because it was this creative idea of him mixing the minerals and it's, you know, filled with kryptonite now. And, well, that's a really cool idea, you know. It was just, that's the kind of, you know, fun writing I like to see penned for a movie like this. You know, very creative, and given what they had to work with, I mean, a great follow-up to the second film as far as continuity. Yeah, that makes total sense, you know. I mean, you know, given the fact that everyone looks younger than they did, would have looked in the second film, that's okay. I mean, there's a certain stretch of, you know, believability you have to take with this is a new film. The actors are going to be a little younger. You know, but we know what happened in those other two movies, and that's all that matters. And, you know, and bringing Marlon Brando was a cool idea also.
I want to give you a suggestion, and then also the folks that are listening. There's a podcast called Hollywood Saloon. I don't know if you ever heard of it.
I haven't.
These guys are probably the creme de la creme of folks that discuss and talk film. These guys are the best. And they do a review of Superman Returns that you should hear. So
do they talk highly about it, or are they a bit down on it?
Well, I mean, they're pretty even keel, but what I mean is they're movie fans. They're not like 14-year-old kids that kind of sit in the back and throw popcorn and just think, "Yeah, I didn't like it." Yeah, you know.
Yeah, sure.
They're entrenched in film, and but yeah, check them out. So
okay,
I mean, they have a quick little side trip. They have a like a multi show expose of the Bond films that's just amazing.
Yeah, I just watched those not too long ago.
So anyway, that's a great podcast.
Okay,
so. Superman Returns. Now, I could have done without Kate Bosworth. They could have found 20,000 other women better than her.
Yeah.
So,
you know, it's interesting enough that she was, of all the people cast, she was the one I hear the only real complaint about. You know, I can't say that I disliked her, but I can't say that I was really just like, yeah, perfectly cast either. You know, it was sort of one of these, I don't know. Yeah, I guess, you know, and I can see her. I mean, because I've watched the film 100 times because I'm in love with the film. I can see, really analyze her character and her take on Lois. She does try and do these little mannerisms and these little moments that Margot Kidder did, but she just doesn't quite get it. I think, you know, given an opportunity to come back, if this sequel ever gets flippin' made, you know, she might have an opportunity to show she can really do the character. But, you know, complete flip of the coin, Brandon Roth, wow. You know, it's so interesting. A lot of times, I think almost every single time Superman has been cast, he's been an unknown. And look at Chris Reeve, and he's this legend now. And Brandon Roth stepped into those shoes. He might not have quite filled them, but he walked in them magnificently. And you know, he had mannerisms, he had the the goofiness of Clark. I mean, there were some laugh-out-loud moments I had just with the expressions. You know, there was a couple parts in the movie you're just like, oh, that's hilarious. He got the bumbling Clark down, but he also got the Superman, you know, Kal-El. He got that aspect of it also. And obviously, Singer was painting a bit of a little darker of a movie, given also what we already talked about, what happened in Superman 2. A lot of choices that were made led to some things that have made it very difficult now in this,
right,
you know, 5 year later sequel. And he does very well in being sort of a Superman who's battling with a lot of emotional issues at this point. I think that, you know, by the end of the film, he's embraced the change, and, you know, we see that he's still a hero. And interesting enough, with given Singer's views in life, I was very surprised but pleased that he kept a very noticeable religious undertone to the film. Like I said, because of the Superman, it's really almost impossible to not have this kind of quote-unquote savior connection. And, you know, I mean, there's an iconic moment, you know, after he lifts this what they call second Krypton, that continent. That's what they call it from the cut scenes. After he lifts that into space and he's, you know, as he's been lifting it the last, you know, few minutes, because the kryptonite's basically draining all of his life, and he falls back to Earth in the form of a crucifix. I mean, it's pretty obvious. You know,
right,
saying, look, Superman is, you know, giving his life for the whole world as he's falling back to Earth. You know, it's all right there, wrapped up in the film. It was done, and, you know, I loved it. I mean, it was great. I mean, Superman, that's the kind of character he is. He's super. You know, he's beyond us mortal men. So.
Well, and I just want to make a quick statement. We've been kind of dancing around the subject, it's interesting that the Spawn can really envelop a lot of mannerisms of the devil and talk about hell and all this, and we're supposed to be okay with it and say, okay, that's the story, great, perfect. But anything that represents God or Jesus or the Bible, people start getting a little nervous about.
I don't understand
what they're afraid of. If it's within the realm of the story, you know, Narnia, whatever.
Yeah.
That I mean, this is America, and art is art, and there are plenty of films. I mean, you can just start naming them off. You know, Freddy Krueger. You know, just, you know, takes on this, you know, thought of the devil and hell and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, we as Christians go, okay, well, you know, they ran out of things to do. So, okay, he's the embodiment of the devil. Great. Okay. Let's keep going with the story.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I mean, I would hope that any type of story would be okay. You know, and I just, for me, if that's part of the story, everybody should just watch it and just take a little pulse check and just relax instead of, you know, I read the reviews. I read the reviews about, oh, the crucifix, and, oh, the, you know, the Christ symbolism. Oh, so what?
Yeah. Yeah.
Big deal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a book out there, you know, it's kind of high on the bestseller list. Just chill out. You know, there's plenty of other films about all kinds of different things. So, you know,
yeah.
Anyway, I'm off my soapbox.
No, that's a really good point, though, Jeff. I mean, it's so funny. And, you know, I think this, you know, I'm assuming, coming from where your standpoint here is, being a Christian myself, it's, you know, and I have nothing against people expressing, like, even if you look at Star Wars, I mean, George Lucas was raised Methodist and became Buddhist. I mean, you can clearly see, you know, the... that rubbing off into the films from both,
right?
Definitely heavily on the Buddhism, and I'm okay with that. You know, it's still an epic, fun story. I still love it.
Right.
But it's funny, like you said, maybe not even really that funny. As soon as anything comes up that's Christian in nature, no, we can't have that. Oh, the devil's fine. No problem with that. You know, it's
right.
always been, I've
right.
always found that intriguing also. You know, as part of the story, get over it, you
mm-hmm.
know.
Right.
I understand where you're coming from, and it is frustrating. You know, if they want to go and complain and run in a corner and say, I hate this, well, they can. They can waste all the time they want. It's not going to change the story or the fact that that symbolism is there. So.
Well, you know, and it's funny. They'll drag that sign of separation of church and state from out of the Capitol
mm-hmm.
and out of every, you know, county seat, and they'll drag it into the theater and say, there's a separation of church and state even here, and that's not true.
Yeah, well.
Art is art.
Yeah, and that separation of church and state is overused and misunderstood, I think,
mm-hmm.
by a lot of people. I don't think they truly understand what that means. I mean, you know, we went back to just talking about even way back earlier in the podcast, you know, in America and needing a hero and wanting something to believe in. And even back in the 30s and 40s, especially, you know, after the Great Depression and during World War II, you know, just wanting to believe there's something out there. There's someone that can save us. And
mm-hmm.
even in a lot of these heroes, there's something within us that we, you know, we can do something. We can be that hero. You know, we have a strength
right.
as well. And I think that, you know, as we follow that along, it's very clear that's still very present. And, you know, if our ideas today of heroes are Barack Obama and John McCain, it's a sad world, sorry to say. I don't want to drag politics
mm-hmm.
into it too much, but, I mean, it's, you know, we're in desperate need of real heroes. We've kind of run
right.
out of them. So we
but
embrace
I,
these fictional heroes.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I do think that you do kind of pick on something that's very important, is that I think part of what's cool about Superman is kind of a hint of the everyman can help. And, you know, even just kind of looking at Clark Kent, I mean, you know, none of us are from Krypton, for heaven's sake. But
well, speak for yourself.
You know, right. you know, we can do something, and I think it's that whole kind of, you know, let's get involved, let's help out, let's do something. And I mean, and to me, that's part of what's in the story, is that, you know, why can't you help yourself to some degree? You know, Superman has to come and get your cat out of the tree, and, you know, get everybody out of this and that and something else. So. Heroes are important, and I think they give hope in a certain way, and that's kind of cool thing, and I think that's why you know Batman, even though, you know, Batman may be a little darker, I think there's room for all these types of superheroes,
mm-hmm.
and I think they're important to us, you know. And, you know, back in, you know, Roman days, you know, when you talked about the guy that, you know, slew the thousands or whatever, you know, to today, when you talk about, you know, could Batman beat up Superman? Well, let's see, you know.
Well, if you want me to get into the comics, I can tell you about that.
There you go.
But, you know, actually, just a quick sidetrack about Batman. One of the things I really appreciate about his character, you know, a lot of my friends will have these debates, who's better, Superman or Batman, or which is the more beloved character. And, you know, I love both the characters. I say I like Superman just a little more for whatever reason. But the thing I do appreciate about Batman, I don't mind it being darker, because I think that, you know, one, we live in a dark world. You know, that's fair to say. And two, there's a little darkness within all of us that we are always battling. And the thing about Batman that's so cool is that he's just a guy who goes out and makes a difference in the world, you know, through his own invention and his own skills and strength. And he's always battling not just the darkness out there, but the darkness within himself. You know, he's trying to be a better person. And that's really an important factor about Batman, which I think reflects greatly on society as a whole. You know, Superman, it's... you know, like you said, being the everybody's man, Clark Kent, whereas Batman, it's quite different.
True. Okay, so Casey, now let's look forward. You mentioned, you know, the sequel to Superman Returns.
Mm-hmm.
What other things are you looking forward to? What is going to keep Superman interesting as we go forward?
Well, you know, honestly, there's just something about having a big screen movie with these types of characters that really keeps them alive in a sense. I mean, it's kind of like their debut, you know, it's like their soapbox. Here's their moment of glory. Just like with the Chris Reeve film when it first came out, that was like everything up until that had been, you know, a lead up to that point. And once that dun, 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 you know, once that hit the screen, it was just like, wow, you know, that was his moment, you know? And I think that, you know, we've had some time away to separate from the character, and Superman Returns came in and reminded us, hey, remember how cool this was? Oh yeah. Okay. I remember this. You know, some got it, some didn't, unfortunately. And I think now it's a perfect time to come in with a sequel to that film. You know, bring in some new elements, keep the same cast. And all the talks I've been hearing, I've been doing a lot of following on this. Brandon Roth, you know, the actor who played Superman, keeps saying that it is happening. Singer's working on a script. The problem is we just haven't heard a lot of official word yet. Singer's even said, yes, I am working on it. You know, it originally was for 2009, but it got delayed due to the writer's strike, which a lot of things did, that stupid writer's strike, you know, which is unfortunate, because that means I have to wait another year for Superman. But right now, slated to come out 2010, Superman, The Man of Steel. And, you know, Bryan Singer has made some comments about it. He said he'd like to, quote-unquote, Wrath of Khonnit, which a lot of fans have been debating. What does that mean? Does that mean it's going to be just more action-packed and a better film, like, you know, the second Star Trek was better than the original? Or is it meaning that he's going to kill off one of the heroes like Spock died, you know, and I've had some theories about that. You know, even Siegel, the guy who owns the rights or whatever, the family, I can't remember his name, but he's up there high on the list there. He has direct word and involvement in Superman and what happens with the character. He said he would be interested in seeing the idea of an angry god played out in the second film. So that is very interesting to me, and I think it could be really, really well done. I mean, even just from what I've seen for this next Batman that's coming out, it has my jaw on the ground. I'm thinking, man, this looks really, really good. And maybe it'd be good for us to revisit that in a later podcast to see if it was really good. But at this point, I'm thinking it's going to be blow away. But, you know, it's going to be a hit. But, you know, I think that the next Superman could be that same kind of, this film is going to be huge, even larger than Returns was. Because Returns has sort of got everyone, you know, reminded of Superman. Oh, yeah, okay. You know, we have the new actors playing these characters of these old films. Everything's reestablished. Great. That's all out of the way. It's all done. Now what? Now we get to the good stuff, you know. And that is what's been said, you know, on and on from Singer and Roth and a lot of the other bigwigs, if you will, about what's to come for Superman. So I guess the frustrating thing at this point is there's been real no official word. You know, Warner Brothers saying, yes, this is going to come out this year. You know, Singer has not officially announced any writers that's working with him yet, because the two writers that worked with him on Superman Returns had to leave the project for one reason or another, unfortunately. So it's just a matter of time. We'll see. But I have high hopes. Singer, you know, made X-Men. It was a pretty good movie. X-Men 2 came out. It was fantastic. And then he left Superman Returns, which was good, and X-Men 3 was completely utter trash. I have high hopes that with him being involved in this next sequel, it's going to be so similar to what X2 was to X-Men, and being, you know, way, way better, even though the first one was still good.
Right. Well, happy birthday to Superman.
Yeah.
70 years. pretty good for 70, you know.
Not bad.
And it seems like there's a lot more life left in the little boy from Krypton. So
still flying.
And Casey Knowlton, I just want to thank you for being on the show and
absolutely
talking about Superman. So we will do it again. And I just want to thank folks that are listening now and listening in the future as they download. So, Casey, give us an idea of how folks can get in touch with you. Maybe they have some thoughts, maybe an email or two to you about Superman. So let us know how to get a hold of you.
Well, the best way, I've got about six different emails, but you know, the best way to get a hold of me would be through the one I use the most, which is Casey, K-A-S-E-Y, Kenobi, K-E-N-O-B-I at gmail.com. Feel free to email me any thoughts or disagreements you might have with the ideas presented. And also, if you're a big Superman fan, I recommend going to the Daily Planet, bluetights.net. Just like it sounds, bluetights.net. And there's the Daily Planet forum there, and I post on that message board as the alias Lex Luthor. So come and join us at the Daily Planet.
Excellent. Well, Casey, thanks so much for being on the show, man.
Absolutely, Jeff. It's always a pleasure.
Okay, we will talk to you soon, man.
Thank you.
Take care.